Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's Feather snapcam.com.
I just hit that button. You weren't ready.
I was not ready.
It's Jamie and
That's
Robin.
How you get me.
That's true. I do get you.
You're listening to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
It is true. It's our podcast about making babies in non-traditional families.
Mm-hmm. And how it all shakes out.
Yeah. Jamie, who do we have with us here today?
We have one of my favorite people. His name is Daniel. Mm-hmm. He's an acupuncturist, and he specializes in fertility.
But what is he famous for in the ovaries talk circle?
He is famous for making my baby. Well, that sounds wrong.
Oh, that sounds like we have your donor.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not my donor.
No.
I don't know him.
Can you imagine if your donor was an acupuncturist and we got him? Mm. It would be like a twofer.
Yes.
It's not, though.
It's not. He did acupuncture. He's the guy who did acupuncture on me when I was trying to get pregnant. And he was my final, it was like my last straw in what I'm going to try to do at this point to make this happen. I'm ready to give up almost. If this doesn't work out, I go to him. I saw him for a while.
No, wait, don't give it up.
Well, everybody knows.
Oh, you had a baby.
Pregnant. And I I really feel like he had a huge part in me finally getting pregnant.
Well, I'm excited to have him here because I know very little about acupuncture other than the one time I went and freaked out. So I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, just like how it works and how the whole fertility portion of it works. Mm-hmm. So should we get him in here?
Let's get him in here. He's a great guy.
All right. Let's get Daniel.
Oh, my God.
We have Daniel here with us.
He's here. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure. This is great. Thank you for coming.
We're going to talk acupuncture. This is exciting. And fertility and needles and things that scare
me. Daniel's kind of an expert on it. I really think that it wasn't for you, Daniel, I don't think I would have gotten pregnant.
She gives a lot of credit to you.
I do.
Thank you.
I do.
Yeah.
Because it's really the one thing I stuck with for, you know, that's not true. That's so not true.
I stuck with eating
ice cream every night too, which sure Daniel told me I probably shouldn't do that.
But you were very consistent. You were very easy. But you also did your own thing. You know, you listened to your meditation. You came in.
I did. I meditated while the needles were in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, geez.
Yeah. Every time. Because I'm crunchy like that.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the actual needles, we always like to start with our people and we start with the people as opposed to the tables. And we talk about an elevator pitch. So you are, I believe, a single dad. You want to give us the elevator pitch of you and your family?
So I am a single dad. I've been a single dad since my son was about 2 and he's almost 9.
Wow.
His mother now lives in Nashville.
So you have full custody of your son?
Right now, I am the custodial parent because I'm full-time. He's with me. She now lives out of state.
I feel like that's really rare for the dad to have. I don't know what the custodial or whatever.
We kind of gender swapped. It was awesome.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is awesome.
Yeah, but
it is.
Yeah, well, I was always kind of the nurturer. I'm the one that kind of changed the diapers and did all the work and took him to the pediatrician.
She was smoking cigars and outside on the she's mowing the lawn.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. And was it an okay breakup? Like, is she still in the kid's life?
So this fits into your little situation. She started school when Magnus was about 1, I think, and she decided she wanted to have an open relationship and be with women.
Oh,
wow. So she was
Did you see that coming?
I did not see that coming. I didn't see it. I see the surprise on your face.
Did not see that coming.
Wow. Was that tough?
It was emotional.
I can imagine.
Especially for a guy.
Yeah.
I think for anyone, that's just tough to find out that your significant other wants to date someone of the same sex.
Because there's absolutely nothing you can do about that.
It was. I mean, I couldn't change. She said, I want to be with you or women. And I was like, well.
You or women? Or did both?
Oh, both. Yeah. But
it
was
kind of
no. Yeah. So.
GFY.
But it was fine. We had a pleasant kind of split. I, at that point, moved to Tucson with Magnus while she, sorted things, and then eventually moved to New York, and then I followed. And I think it's been good for Magnus because he's had 2 moms. He knows what that's like.
Wow.
He's, very close to his mom, and they have, a lot of really close conversations about things that are going on. And so it's been some challenges, but.
Well, what's funny is I thought we were booking you for your, fertility acupuncture and Jamie's baby, helping make Jamie's baby. And yet you're a non-traditional family.
Yeah, you
absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely.
So you fit right in.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, welcome.
And Magnus,
welcome to the club.
Magnus is an acupuncture baby. Meaning we went to acupuncture. I did acupuncture he wouldn't be like, you talk about Orion not being here without acupuncture. You know, Magnus wouldn't be here without acupuncture. Right. So
was it hard? Did you have a hard time getting pregnant?
We did.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
were you already doing acupuncture for fertility when you were trying to get pregnant, or like, was that the beginning or no, you were already?
No, that was, we were just trying. And we were having complications and chronic miscarriages, actually. Oh. And then we started doing acupuncture. And
did you do it? Can you do that?
You know, I think it's better.
Is it frowned upon?
It's not frowned upon. I give myself acupuncture. And
you do?
Yeah. But what's neat about acupuncture is it's just, sometimes it's energy. So I do a lot of body work.
Yeah.
So I can just use my fingers. He's had knee pain, and I've kind of like done what's called Tui Na, which is Chinese medical massage.
Uh-huh. Love
and
those
like
massages.
Rub, yeah, I would do it to all my patients.
Do you like live at his, what's the name of your?
Magnus Wellness.
Oh, after your son, I love that.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much good energy right now.
I know. He works with energy. That's what he does.
Yeah. That's what, Jamie, that's why I said that. All right. So, I feel like maybe you part-time work there, Jamie.
I should. I should just stand outside and say, well, it worked for me.
This is my child.
Just, yeah, bring both kids.
And Magnus was very funny when I first showed him the sign that says Magnus Wellness. He looked at it. He was just like, yeah, he's like five, you know. And we walk in the office. He looks around, and then he goes into my office. He goes, "Who's your boss?" And I was like, "No one. I'm my own boss." He goes, "You're your own boss?" You know,
that's like, what he's impressed by.
Total five-year-old. Yeah like no one bosses me around. That's
I
great.
Love that. Who's your boss? who's your boss? He was like a mechanic in Queens. Who's your boss? That's great. Yeah. So, well, tell us a little bit about your background in acupuncture, like how you got started and how it kind of morphed into fertility.
So I got into this 25 years ago when I came back from Mexico. It was probably 23.
What were you doing in Mexico?
I opened a business.
Right, what kind of business?
Right after NAFTA passed, it was a marble company.
So a what?
Marble, like we
as
put
in countertops.
Countertops, yeah.
Interesting.
It was very artistic. It was fun. Yeah.
I mean, because you don't know this about Daniel, but he's also an artist.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
So I have an MFA in painting.
Okay.
And that was my.
My wife is a painter. Do you know her, Mary? She paints sometimes in our living room. You know her?
Yeah. Nothing. That's love cool. Those smells,
I
right?
I wish I was an artist. Yeah. I'm really not.
You are an artist.
I'm
a performing artist.
I'm a singing and dancing artist. Yeah.
And I came back to the States, and I was in Las Vegas, of all places, and got really sick and went to tons of Western doctors, and they all thought I was crazy. They were like, "There's nothing wrong with you." They told me to go see a psychologist.
What? Oh. They were like, basically, you're crazy.
You're crazy, yeah.
Oh, no.
And I knew like I was physically wrong, so I found an acupuncturist in Portland, Oregon.
Was he able to say actually what it was? Yeah. Just like an intestinal.
Really,
he diagnosed like what was going, because acupuncture doesn't treat you like a machine. You know, you're not like no offense to Western medicine. I love Western medicine for certain things. I have to say that's my bias.
No offense
they,
to the people
they
who are doctors.
Sometimes compartmentalize it. They look at like one object. And they get
sometimes the entire system is compartmentalized. Like my uncle's in the hospital right now, and they were like, "You can't see the liver guy until we're done with this person."
Exactly.
Until we sorted the heart, we're not even going to bring the liver guy in. I was like, "But couldn't the liver be causing the heart thing?" And they were like, "Maybe." Yeah. And I was like, "This seems like a great system."
Yeah.
No offense to doctors. Yeah.
But the acupuncturist kind of saw, well, you have this going on and this going on. Let's fix all these things. And
yeah.
It's like the meridians, right?
And that's kind of what I do.
Guys, this is going to be Jamie's smart episode. I was going to say, when did you, we're like, this is my career. I'm going to make a business
It's been recent, like in the last 7 years, 6 years, something like that.
Before that, it was just a hobby?
It was kind of a hobby. You know,
you were making a living from it?
Yeah. No, I didn't think I could make
it. You just had books about it. And
And
then you had a day job.
And my day job was to be an artist. I have
a. You were like a. You were a paid artist.
He's a bona fide artist.
This
art
paid
all over
artist.
His office.
This is, by the way, you're like a unicorn, a paid artist.
It's rare.
It really is.
I taught to make. I mean, I couldn't make enough money.
I feel like I did not do a good pre-call with you because this is like also fascinating. I'm like, what?
This is good. This is good.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. But what I like about acupuncture, it's kind of a science. It's very. Practical?
Kind of a science.
It is a science. You know, because
I would say it's a science.
It's a science, yeah. I remember in art and acupuncture school, most of the people thought it was more of an art. And there's an art to acupuncture, but it's really a science. It's very calculated. It's very practical.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's interesting? I have not only done acupuncture with you, Daniel. So, I've floated around a couple times with acupuncture.
And you cheated on Daniel?
Well, this was before Daniel. Now I will just always go to Daniel.
All right.
But I went to a prestigious College of Oriental Medicine in Manhattan, where you get a discounted rate because it's the college. So it's students and they're learning.
Oh, they're learning, right.
Right. And they were very methodical, like, look at your tongue, draw a picture of the tongue, you know, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then I went to this other place in my neighborhood. He was just doing it like it was like, he was just putting them in places like it was an art, like just, but he put so many needles in me both times I went. And then they left me on the table for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then when you do it, you kind of put them all over the place too. And then I was always asking him questions like, well, why are you putting that there? That doesn't make sense.
Oh, it would be like in your ankle or your foot.
Yeah, he'd be my ankle, right? And then he'd come over to my inner elbow of the other arm, and you know.
I just have to say, I'm having a hard time because I'm getting so freaked out. I only went one time and I was on my stomach and they were putting them in and I was panicked that I wouldn't, a fire would happen and I would not be able to run because I wouldn't be able to get them all out.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's, we need a little entry level.
So those people in the audience that want to know about Chinese medicine that live in New York, there is an exhibition right now at the Museum of Chinese American History, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe. That has it's the evolution of Chinese medicine in America, which is very fascinating. Mm-hmm.
Well, talk to me like I know nothing about acupuncture, okay. And say, my understanding of the needles is this: it sort of like makes the muscle tense up and then release. And like, what's with the herbs? And give us like why the herbs, why the needles? Just like so an overview.
You don't have to do the herbs.
You don't have
but
to.
No, but like an overview of why you would even are they like a vitamin? Are they, you know, like what's the point of any of it?
And traditionally in China, there's herbalists, which are like. Pharmacologists, they're probably like Western doctors here, mm-hmm. but they prescribe pharmaceuticals,
herbs
right?
Instead of.
So there's herbal, there's the herbal side of it, and those are doctors. And those are the elite doctors. Those mm-hmm. are the highest because they have to know the most. The acupuncturists in China, now I'm speaking in China, are like the surgeons because they're doing a type of surgery, technically, that's non-invasive. So it's not like in the West, if you mess up your knee and they go in, they cut it open and they fix it, right? Oftentimes, I'm not going to speak for Western medicine, but oftentimes there's some side effects that causes some blood clotting or something. And oftentimes they do a very good job. I treat a lot of patients with messed up knees that have had surgery and they don't have any problems. And then the other side of this is the massage. So I do Chinese medical massage. I was trained by a martial artist and the martial artists were traditionally, they would fight someone, right? Mm-hmm. And they would if they accidentally broke someone's arm or dislocated it, they had to put it back together. So the martial arts are really savvy and very smart, and there's some great ones here in New York. And I studied from, I think, one of the best ones that I know of in the United States. And so they use pressure points and it's probably like chiropractic. You were talking about chiropractic. Osteopath, most things started with acupuncture or Chinese medicine. There's probably some.
They're offshoots.
There's some connection to it.
Yeah, because they're all the time, like when they do my back, they're all the time like taking like weird little things and just popping it in weird little spots. And I'm like, what did that even do anything?
Yeah.
But,
But that kind of came from the martial artists. So that would be kind of there's always a Western equivalent. And then I do something kind of special. I do what's called cranial sacral therapy, which is really just body energy. It's not quite Reiki because
Reiki
you don't touch people. This is more just like balancing energy. So it started with acupuncture, and then an osteopath kind of came up with this theory that there's brain waves in our body, or waves in our body, and they come from the brain and they kind of go through the nerve bundles from the greater hypothalamus and the pituitary. It fits into fertility because, to get a regular menstrual cycle, you're stimulating the hypothalamus, you're stimulating the pituitary. So I do what's called cranial, where I just...
I just hold
the head. I put pressure back behind the occipital protuberance, which is the little groove in the back of the neck. And I just hold people's heads and they sit there.
That sounds delightful.
It really is.
Calms the entire body. It helps with autoimmune function, stress, hormone imbalance, all sorts of things. So it's not just the needles that I'm doing. It's a combination. You get the massage. The needles are, not
a portion of it.
Yeah, there's like a little bit,
Right.
And the needles are, this is just how I interpret it. The Chinese were very practical, and each point on the meridian has a specific name, and most of them tell you what to do. Like the Chinese equivalent is, this is for fertility. This is make babies. Right.
This is make babies.
Yeah. I would love to know when you turned toward fertility work, and then tell us a little bit about that. Like how it works for women.
Well, I studied a lot of fertility in school just because I had patients that were coming asking for that. I've read a lot of books. I studied. I took seminars. So I did it in school. And then when I got out of school, I met a doctor who I think was who introduced me to you, Jamie.
He was
right?
my doctor. Yeah.
He was your doctor. Yeah. And
like
I had a
regular Western medicine doctor.
Yeah.
A fertility doctor.
And we had
Yeah,
we had met because I had a bunch of experience in that, and it just kind of skyrocketed from there.
How much of your practice is fertility?
Probably 60-70%.
Wow.
It's weird because I think one in six couples struggle with fertility for, for various, it's enormous and people don't know that.
Yeah.
And I think the,
well, cause you, cause everyone, you've told your whole life that, you know, you're going to, you're going to get pregnant if you sneeze.
Exactly. Or and maybe do so something else, everyone says, oh, just put it off, you know, take birth control, take whatever, you know, avoid it. And then, you know, especially in New York, you turn 35 and it's like, oh my God,
I got
my life.
I want my baby.
Exactly. And they have, most of my patients are used to getting what they want when they want it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
the reproductive clinics are filled with high power ladies.
Absolutely. Yep. But I treat single mothers.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother interesting field that, you know, people that just, it didn't quite work. I treat,
gays,
LGBT community.
Do you find that people who come to you have, is it a first stop? Is it a, like, it's a, oh, I ran out of options. Like, where, how does that?
The majority of my patients have tried either IUI or IVF 3 to 4 times before they come
really?
To me. Yeah.
Do you think that you people could possibly avoid some of that if they came to you first?
Absolutely. I had a, I have a wall of babies that I've helped, which is
not real babies.
No, I mean, real babies, but I need
it's not creepy.
You know, like, but I feel
not creepy.
Baby pictures.
Baby pictures. I feel
because like real babies would be creepy.
Yeah, that would That's be
something out of Jim Henson.
I was gonna say like a horror movie.
Jim Henson, I go to with to the Muppets. I have two kids.
It's all right, Jamie. You knew some big words so far. You're good.
Yeah.
You're
but
good.
Something
I mean,
from Labyrinth. Or,
you know, I had already been through like a year of infertility and bunch of IUIs and three IVFs, and then I went to you, and it was probably about 5 months, and I got pregnant. And I went to you. I took a break. And then when I went back to the doctor, it took me 2 tries and I got pregnant.
How do you go weekly? How often do you recommend that they come to you?
So I usually recommend in the beginning they come twice a week. In China they go every day. So you would go every day.
For fertility or for anything?
For most things.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so indulgent. I felt like it was my indulgent day. I always felt like bad. I didn't want to tell Anne I went to acupuncture. I tried to make it seem like it was like, oh God, I went to acupuncture.
That's New York. It's like, you know, it's a busy place. So I say twice a week, and people come in, you know, before they go to work or after or for lunch breaks, and it's so relaxing.
Yeah,
people
it
look
almost
forward
sounds like
to
you're
it.
Going to like a massage.
I took naps. I fell asleep most of the
on
time
on the table.
Yeah,
it's like a spa.
Yeah,
I wrap them in. Like
I mean,
a
like I'm going
blanket.
There after we're done recording.
Yes, yes, you should.
Just cause.
We
I don't think I
told
need
him
it
to
right
bring
now.
His needles.
I know. No.
But
have to work
I've had
to
patients that have done 8 IVF cycles, which is that's hard.
A lot.
It's a lot. It's
hard.
Really
lot
hard
of
on
money.
The body.
I was just hard on the body too, right?
The average IVF, I think, is like 3.
Mm-hmm.
And this it's an emotional roller coaster. So most of what I do, and this is why now reproductive endocrinologists send their patients to acupuncture.
Oh, do they?
They do, yeah. They source us out because, one, the percentages go up like 30%. And it's scientifically proven that if they get treated while they're going through fertility, that the rates go up. So it helps the doctors.
Sure.
Because
their rates are reported.
Exactly. And patients then go and check them out. And it's really for stress. You know, like if I create an environment that's relaxing, I answer all the questions about fertility that I can because it's a very complicated, there's a lot of unknowns, and the doctors don't have time to educate.
And especially in my case, it was unexplained infertility. I had no answers.
Yeah.
You know, and that happens to a lot of women.
But also, like, I mean, how many times do you hear a story about somebody who I had a baby by IVF. They tried forever. And then after that accidentally, or they adopted and then they accidentally get pregnant after. Because, and I firmly believe that has to do with stress levels. Because you're just like, you fixate on, once you decide you want a baby, you're fixating on that.
So one thing scientifically proven is acupuncture helps with the autonomic nervous system. So that's kind of what controls the, you know, the heart rate, the respiratory elements. And so it really reduces stress. They've mm-hmm. done science, you know, this. I always get these emails that it's a fluke, it's witchcraft, it's, you know,
like
voodoo.
People reaching out to you because they're mad at you?
They're like, well, or I'll hear it from couples. The woman will come in because they're desperate.
Sure.
Nothing's working.
Yeah. They'll do anything.
The husbands are all like, well, that doesn't really work. That's not going to really work. And, you know, there's research that suggests it helps with stress level, that, you know, this is not, it's not, you know, just.
It's not just a coincidence.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I held back from doing it, because I believe in all this stuff, you know, even if it is witchcraft. I love witchcraft. But I held back.
No offense to the witches.
I said I love witchcraft. It's great. I don't even know anything about witchcraft. But I held back because of the cost. And I was already spending so much money on fertility. I didn't do it for that whole year. Because
is it all out of pocket? Is there insurance? I mean, I guess some insurance.
I guess some
insurance.
Mm-hmm. I feel like chiropractic care has become more common on insurance. Acupuncture is getting there, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's why I held back. Which could be a lot of reasons why a lot of people hold back too.
I mean, you're paying for IVF, paying for IUI.
Well, that's why because the IUI has to happen. IVF has to happen to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Acupuncture didn't have to. And then, you know, finally it's either now or nothing. So now I'm going to try everything. And then.
But if you're dropping $15,000 for an IVF cycle.
Yeah.
I mean, which I think it's like $2,500 for IUI. I mean, it's a fraction.
Do you do like a package? Like you can get a package? Like
absolutely.
Do you call it the baby package?
Yeah, I did 10 packs.
The Jamie package.
The Jamie package. Yeah.
And I do treat, it's. You'd think it's just women, but I treat a lot of men. There's a lot of...
Athletes or...
Oh,
no,
fertility.
Oh.
I prefer...
Isn't that interesting? I just made the most horrible mistake assuming that all the fertility issues were women.
Right.
It's horrible. I can't believe I just did that.
Most women think it's all their fault. And it's very emotional. A lot of times it's, you know, the morphology or the motility of the sperm. Uh-huh. So, you know...
That helps with that?
Absolutely, yeah.
I have to imagine that a dude would be way more excited to come to you than to go to the fertility clinic, like to check their business.
I've, you know, there's certain things I can't do, but yeah, but they, you know, they come in and it's just like a total stress relief, you know, I'll like work on their back and they can take a little nap and it's great.
It's great. Yeah. Well, and the way you have your whole practice set up is very relaxing. Like for me, it was like, literally, I turned it into my therapy session. I don't talk. Wait, in normal, like when I go to the doctor, I'm not a talkative patient. I don't talk at the doctor's office. And I would go to Daniel's office and I couldn't believe myself. Just, I never stopped. I would just talk. I would tell him about Rose or tell him about... But it was like therapy to me. Very relaxing.
I'm very lucky. One, I love my job, but I can touch people, you know, like not in a, you know, like massage, right?
Yes.
Well, in Western medicine, how many times does the doctor, you
no,
know, they don't
so
really
rare.
Like,
so rare.
I get to like, you know, give them a back massage. I check their pulse. Yeah. You know, like what's more hands on. And there's a certain amount of trust that starts, mm-hmm. and the trust really helps support the process.
I mean, sounds so intuitive, and actually, like when you compare like what you're saying, the years behind it, the way it's holistic, and compared to our system, it seems so logical. Yeah. I mean, it's funny that it has such a bad rap here. I mean, not funny because of who we are as a country, but you know, I mean, not surprising, I should say. But it seems so logical.
Yeah, I think more and more people are starting to.
I would go.
I think you have a bad rap with
the
needles, though. I'm just saying that.
Yeah. People, you know, but they're hair-like. They're so fine. And
no, I don't mean that. I'm not talking about that. I just mean that the association is that it's just you're going to go there and someone's going to stick you with needles in your face.
Right. No, and I will say every week on the day, like right before you stuck the first needle in, it was always like, here I go. But then it was always fine. But... Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, because it's counterintuitive to, I don't know, safety. Like, it's just like you're sticking something in me. Like, oh, that's
so sorry. I don't know what's happening today.
But it's, you know, and it's set up, if it's set up the right way, it's like therapy and it's very relaxing and a great experience. And then you get a baby out of it. So it's a win-win.
I don't know that he can guarantee the baby. We shouldn't really sell it.
No, he can't. But I got a baby out of it. Right. And I think a big part of that is due to the acupuncture.
Do you have any interesting stories of clients without, you know, giving away anybody's, you know, name and social security number?
Do people cry a lot?
There is, it's very emotional, don't you? Like you're walking, so when you want something really bad and you've been told your whole life that you can have this thing.
Or you should have it.
Or you should have it. Yeah, there's so much pressure. Yeah. And
especially a woman.
Yep. And you walk down the street in the park and everyone's pushing their little baby carriages and you're like, why can't I have this? And what, you know, what's happening to me? And you don't realize how common it is for have infertility issues. And the IUI process, the IVF process, it's a grueling. It is grueling. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah. Also for me, it would be, I was going to you weekly. And so I think there was a point where I was trying and it wasn't working. I don't remember, but that's emotional because then I'm going back to you and I'm saying, nope, didn't work. And that's
right.
I hated saying that. That's because I feel like a failure and I'm like, I don't want to tell anybody it didn't work. Mm. I want to keep it to myself. But I can't because I have to keep trying.
Yeah.
And that's very emotional. That's hard. Walking back into that doctor's office.
And it is hard to talk to relatives and friends that aren't really sensitive about this because you tell them something and they don't always say the right thing. Mm-hmm. So most of my patients
they're not in
it.
They're not in the roller coaster ride with you and don't know how stressful it is or how much you want or, you know.
But I want to say kudos to Jamie because you had this will. Like you were like
this baby.
Yeah, I'm just going to stick to this. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to let the emotions, you know, take control of me. I'm just going to keep doing this. And sure enough, it happened. You had you had the perfect attitude. I was so proud of you.
Thanks, Daniel. I do say that I never really got to the place that I know a lot of women get to. And I don't think it's because I'm stronger than others. I just didn't get there yet. I had a longer leash to get there, I guess. What's the word, the saying? Yeah. That's not the right way to say it, but you know what I mean? Like
a longer journey?
I could handle a long time of this.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I was starting to get to that very dark place that I know a lot of women are in when I finally got pregnant. So,
So what other interesting you? So you have a lot of tears.
So there's a long process. And, you know, I have, you know, most of the times it's a good story. I treat a lot of patients like that either start in their early 40s and that gets to be a lot more complicated. Some are single mothers and that's even much more complicated because for various reasons. You know, it puts pressure on the couple.
Yeah.
Because they start blaming each other. Sure. So there's a little bit of an emotional side with that. But, you know, the rewards, gosh, when they get pregnant, it's so exciting.
Quickly do they come in to see you when they get pregnant?
So I always recommend that they come in for the first trimester, which is the first 13 weeks. Because if anything is going to go, if there's going to be any, you know, they're kind of high risk if they're doing IUI or IVF. So the first trimester would be the risky time. So, you know, when...
What are you doing there? When they're
coming in before they get pregnant, everything is really about blood flow. So it's egg quality, and that's blood flow. It's if there's any stagnation, like get rid of clotting, things like that. And then once they're pregnant, once they go through the IUI, it's really about keeping it there. So strengthening the pelvic floor, holding everything tight in there because we don't want anything to go down, right? So
I could use some strengthening of the pelvic floor now, by the by.
So the first 13 weeks is a lot about that. And then it gets into...
Also, you can help with the symptoms of pregnancy. Like, I was nauseous for the whole first trimester and a little bit beyond.
That sucked.
And he did nausea things.
Yep.
Heartburn. Yeah, all that. One. He can help with
I had all of those things. Why didn't you tell me about any of this?
I didn't know you.
It's true.
Also,
it's
I valid. Hadn't gone through it yet.
Yeah. And then it's true.
The real rewarding is, you know, they have the baby and then... And you know, I'll go to their house or they'll come in and I get to do craniosacral on like their little 5 week old.
Oh.
It's love, craniosacral. It's so like,
well, it's like a neck massage is what it sounds like.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah.
And that is your kid like the most chill kid ever? Like, cause you just can come in and work on him whenever?
Well, he sounds a little bit like your kids, your firstborns. He's highly sensitive, let's just say. Yeah. And he lets you know if anything's wrong.
Yeah.
And so it's.
Do you do acupuncture on him?
I don't do
or any of your work.
I don't do. I do acupressure. So okay. You know, like I just if he has knee problems, I'd rub his knee. He comes to me and goes, "Papa, press the magic points." Like so, I get rid of hiccups,
really,
stomach problems. You know, but I do it all with my hands.
Sure.
So they're just kids are the most resilient, you know, because they want to be healthy. So it just takes a little tweaking. They're not going to sit there for a needle anyway.
Yeah,
so
I can't imagine. Oh my god, pressure. I can't even imagine that. Okay, so what? What specific advice or, I don't know, do you have for the LGBT community?
Well, there's help out there, first of all. It's very useful for surrogates. That would be one suggestion that I would make, you know, because you're putting a lot of money.
Meaning, yes. Like, if you're hiring a surrogate, you would want to also pay for them to do acupuncture.
I would, I'd recommend it. Because, first of all, the statistics are going to go up 30%.
Right.
You know, there's no guarantees, but if you're going to, I don't know, what a surrogate, $50,000,
$100,000?
You might as well just throw out
the little extra.
$400 or $500.
Get a little extra loan there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's such a small percentage of what people are paying for. Because some insurances pay for fertility. I don't know how many do IVF. Some do IVF.
Some do IVF and don't do IUI. Some do IUI and don't do IVF. And
more do now than used to.
Yep.
But a lot of times it's like under gynecological care. And then depending on what they, you know, maybe you get like one. You know, like $10,000 for a lifetime. They max out pretty quickly.
Yep. Yeah.
So you're right. That does seem like an extra.
So for surrogacy, you definitely recommend it. Absolutely. Any other advice?
You know, just it's really about support. You know, like so. You know what I provide or what I think is important is like just to help them like go through the emotional roller coaster, to support them with any questions. It's more than just needles. Like needles is such a small percentage of what I do and what I think all acupuncturists, yes.
Totally.
Whether you come to me, it's just like every doctor is different, every acupuncturist is, but there's a ton of great acupuncturists in New York City. Mm-hmm. So,
is there a way to vet if someone were looking for someone like that's in a, I don't know, Iowa? Is there a way to vet your, or do you just trust that because they went through so much school, it'll probably be okay? Do you Yelp this? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like,
you know, I'm Yelped. You can like look at reviews about Yelping. There is a fertility organization that you can look up. You can just do acupuncture for fertility, and then there'll be a list of people who specialize in fertility.
That's good to know. I think that's helpful.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that those people are the best.
Registered.
It is registered. It's qualification.
I suppose you could also do like, you know, Yahoo group type things, like local baby groups and ask word of mouth.
And right. I guess a lot of it is probably word of mouth. I mean, like I heard about you through my doctor.
But interesting to note that you can also talk to maybe your RE, your reproductive endocrinologist.
And push it out. But, you know, like if you're struggling with endometriosis, I would look at, you know, their blog posts, a lot of by acupuncturists that can help you with endometriosis. PCOS, I treat endometriosis, PCOS, those are big ones. Mm-hmm. And those are really problematic with fertility. Some require medical, like Western medicine to intervene, fibroids. You know, there's a lot of various, situations, but, I also think find the right person. You know, don't just.
It sounds like it's important to find the right fit.
It is
because it seems like it's you energy. Two clearly have like an energy connection that works. Jamie's coming over to your house later. I don't know if you know about that.
Ask a lot important. Of questions.
Yeah,
and it's just
I shopped around before I met you.
Absolutely.
You sure did.
I sure did. I was all over the place.
The weird places.
So go to Yelp. See how many stars. See what the views are. Yeah, it's like anything, but.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, this was incredibly informative and just, I mean.
Did you learn?
I learned so much. I really did. But also I just think like, it sounds to me like you not just provide medicine and help, but like hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is really important in this journey.
Yeah. Support.
I got all you there with a.
You did.
The journey.
You did.
It's
you
beautiful.
Got, you did. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It was hope from it. Like every, I don't know. I feel like I went on Mondays a lot. And every Monday it was like, I have acupuncture today. Okay. That's good.
We're going to get through this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. New York can seem lonely sometimes. Yeah. As many people as there is in the city, it can be very,
very
lonely.
Very, yeah.
So, you know, acupuncturists can just help you feel like you're.
It's holistic. You got
Well, thank you very much. And before you go, one more time, say the name of your place and how people
can
get you.
So I'm Magnus Wellness. My name is Daniel Fielder. I'm in Midtown, so I'm right by the New York Public Library. So the Bryant Park stop and the Grand Central Park stop.
So then come see you and go to the park.
That's what I would do. That's what I would do. I'd walk through the park sometimes. If I didn't have to go straight somewhere, I just walk through the park.
Don't tell Ann.
She just found out.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Yeah.
So, Robin, did you learn something?
I learned a lot.
Yeah, you did.
I'm not going to lie. I learned that in your brain, you know some big words.
Shut up, Robin.
I know, I'm sorry.
I do have a lot of big words. They don't always come to me, especially post-baby.
Yeah, words don't come to me that often either. And I'm a writer, so.
But yeah, you learned a lot, right?
I did. And also, he was fantastic. He was delightful. And if you could see his cute little face, he had an adorable little face.
He's a great guy.
Okay, Jamie, guess what?
What?
We also have some really passionate listeners who've started sending us feedback. Are you making fun of my accent?
No, not at
all. I almost said passionate. And we decided that we were going to do a listener segment. Is that your announcer voice?
Yeah. All right. Good.
Well, here is Kelly Osler. She had some thoughts on episode 15, which is the could same-sex couples make babies without donors?
And she's a lot smarter about this than we are.
She is. Take a listen.
Hi, Robin and Jamie. After listening to your episode, Could Same-Sex Couples Make Babies Without Donors? I have a few comments and a fair bit of science I wanted to share with you guys. First, I wanted to correct a comment that your guest made about the challenge in making a baby with two moms. At one point, she said you would need to make an XX cell into an XY sperm. Most human cells are diploid, meaning they have two copies of every chromosome. And yes, women are XX and men are XY, but eggs and sperm are haploid. They only have one copy of each chromosome. So all eggs are X, and sperm are half X and half Y. The XY chromosomes aren't really the issue to making a baby from same-sex couples. In the 80s, scientists made mouse embryos with the DNA from two female mice, and similarly from two male mice. The embryos from the two female mice appeared normal after implantation, but they failed to grow, whereas the embryos from the two male mice died soon after implantation and contained mostly just placenta. Soon after this, genomic imprinting was discovered. Everyone has two copies of every gene, and usually they're both on or both off. However, only one copy of imprinted genes are on, and that depends on if you inherit them from your mom or your dad. When you're developing and making all your eggs for future babies, all genomic imprinting gets wiped clean, and they all get marked as coming from a female. Similarly, in men, when sperm's made, it's marked as being from a male. So the real hurdle to making a baby from same-sex parents is to figure out how to change the imprinted DNA. In 2004, scientists were able to produce live pups from only female mice. However, they had to do a lot of manipulation. They started with immature eggs that lacked the maternal imprinting and then removed a gene that's paternally imprinted or turned off. And then they had to overexpress a gene that's normally turned on from the paternal allele. They then fertilized an egg from another mouse, transferred it to a recipient, and ended up with two live pups, one of which grew to adulthood and was able to reproduce. So genomic imprinting is really the hurdle to making babies from same-sex parents. I apologize for all the science, but I just wanted to share it with you guys. I love your podcast and I can't wait for the next episode.
Oh my God. Does she sound like a smart lady or what?
Very smart. And I feel like she wrote that maybe in like 2 minutes.
That would have taken us a long time.
I would have never written it, but it's impressive.
Well, and guys, if there's anything that you would like to say to us, please feel free to, you can record a voice memo on your phone and email us at ovariestalk@gmail.com because we'd like to hear from you.
And we'd like to hear your voice.
We sure do.
So you can hit us up on our social anytime you'd like. Social's always up there. So
it never goes, never goes away. That's the beauty of social. It's always there.
Or the annoying.
I know.
But anyway.
Twitter, Ovaries Talk.
Instagram, Ovaries_talk.
And of course, we're on the Facebook, If These Ovaries Could Talk. and, you know, reach out to us.
Yeah.
We like to hear your feedback. All right.
All right. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.